For the past two Lord's Days, we've been studying the causes of suffering. And thus, a good follow-up study would be for us to answer this vitally important question. How do we react to suffering? And we'll want to begin that important study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins in Father Morgan Street, Church of Christ. We welcome you this morning to PFE. Yes, sir, we should know that stands for preparing for eternity, and that's what we all should be doing. Now, I want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes, and then as we come together to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit and in truth. Thus, that would be with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, according to John 4:24. You, I am assuring you that you will be very much welcome, as we're a friendly congregation, and we look forward to having you join in with us. But something else to mention, we're always looking forward to having Bible studies. So if you're interested in setting up a time at your convenience, well, please let us know. And again, our address is 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana. 46151 is the zip code. And our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And again, questions, Bible questions are always welcome, comments, positive or negative. So we hope to hear from you. One other thing to mention before we get into our study this morning, and that would be our website address, which has our bulletin articles and the listing of the sick and so forth, and also our radio sermons are available if you missed one, or if you wanted to hear one again, that would be wonderful. Well, let us get into our study now, and we're asking this, again, vitally important question, how do we react to suffering? We start out with the fact that Jesus knew his disciples would suffer, and he did not want them to become discouraged and certainly not to give up. No, sir. Jesus wanted them to know that they could be blessed by suffering. For example, Matthew 5, verses 10 and 12 in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So Jesus spoke of true happiness, the Beatitudes. This is the formula for true happiness. Biblical, of course, happiness we're speaking of. And that's the best kind, is it not? So, suffering can hurt our spiritual growth, yes, or it can help our spiritual growth. So here are the two possibilities. Now, this is a very important statement I'm fixing to make. And this is really our first major point of our sermon this morning. Whether our spiritual growth is hurt or helped depends on our reaction to suffering. And that's why we're asking this question, how do we react to suffering? Because how we react to suffering, you see, is going to show whether we're hurt or helped. Now, let me give some examples where we have warnings. Say the sign says danger. keep out, high voltage. Well, we can be helped by that warning. But if we ignore it, we can certainly be hurt. One-way street, for example, that's something we've all seen. Well, we know to not drive down that road the wrong way, so we're helped. Now, what about grabbing a sharp knife by the blade? Well, we're going to get hurt. But if we grab it by the handle, we can cut the meat. So you see, the point is, we're either hurt or helped by our suffering. Now, notice with me, 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, we're going to note 6 through 9 here. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now notice again the following phrases in this passage. Heaviness through manifold temptations, many temptations, the trial of your faith, though it be tried with fire, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. In other words, we're going to be tested. Our character could not grow. Our faith cannot grow if it's not tested. And certainly suffering is going to put our faith to the test. Our character grows as we overcome trials and tribulations. You don't have sparks coming from an axe on a velvet pad getting sharpened. No, it doesn't sharpen on a velvet pad. On a grindstone. Yes, and you see the sparks. So that's true of our character growing as we go through difficulties. Suffering certainly is a difficult situation to be in. And our faith is getting tested. So, it is true, we need to note this, that suffering causes some people to go into despair, to give up, to turn to alcohol or drugs, to become even violent. We've seen that with people getting so upset and they go off and kill even innocent people that they don't even know. Well, some lose their faith in God and even blame God for their suffering. We know of that situation, do we not? Remember Job 2:9? Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. Well, we can see why Satan left Job's wife. He took the 10 children, but he left behind Job's wife for this very reason. Well, Job did not sin or charge God foolishly, thankfully. Job 1:22, and in the second round, when God took his health, verse 10 of chapter 2, Job did not sin or charge God foolishly. So let's be sure that we do not react to suffering by blaming God, but rather turn to God and get help, not to get hurt. That's the emphasis we want to understand. Point number 2. Understanding the benefits of suffering can fortify our faith in God. Now, the greatest benefit to mankind from suffering is, of course, and we all should know this, the vicarious suffering of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, upon the cruel cross of Calvary. What suffering our Lord endured because of his love for us and submitting to his heavenly Father's will. Study Isaiah chapter 53, and you'll see the prophecy of the suffering Savior, the perfect Lamb of God led to the slaughter. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that, what? Obey him, of course. Hebrews 5:8-9. So in other words, God the Father saw the benefits to his only begotten son's suffering. What about us? Do we appreciate the greatest benefit to mankind being the suffering of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. 1 Peter 2:21. The just for the unjust, 1 Peter 3:18. Jesus suffered for us all is the bottom line. Now, as we go further into our study of understanding the benefits of suffering, and this, of course, can fortify our faith in God and make us stronger in the Lord's church, and that is to ask this question: how can our personal suffering help or benefit us? My suffering and your suffering. Let's note how that can help us and certainly benefit us in the Lord's church. Number one, suffering can help us to know ourselves better, as it causes us to look inward. We may not do this when things are going well. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? 2 Corinthians 13:5 tells us. Are we doing that? Well, suffering will help us to do just exactly that. Number two, suffering can help us to have a proper set of values. What is the most important thing to us? Well, it should be for living a Christian life in service to our Lord and Savior, to glorify God and have eternal life. That should be the most important. But for many, it's what? Money, pleasure, popularity. But how important are these things if you lose your good health? You see how suffering can help us to have a proper set of values. As we note in the Sermon on the Mount, again in Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, we must put the spiritual over the physical. Number three, suffering can help us to better understand the value of prayer. Well, this is a wonderful blessing that Christians have, to call upon their Heavenly Father, not just in time of need, as we would be in a suffering situation. Yes, that's clearly a time to call upon God, but we need to be praying every day, no matter what our circumstances are. And it's a great privilege, but especially, yes, when we're suffering. Jesus in Matthew 6, verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." So he's giving a model prayer. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Yes, appreciate the value of prayer. Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." Where? In heavenly places in Christ. We must be in Christ, be in his body, the true church, to have this wonderful blessing of prayer. And suffering can help us to better understand that value. Number four, suffering can help us to be thankful for our many blessings. That's right. Be thankful to God rather than blame God for our suffering. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, even in those difficult times. Yes. Colossians 3:17, we all should know this verse, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, yes, and the Father by Him. Well, are we thankful for our many blessings? Count them one by one, and we can't really do that, can we, as the song says, beautiful hymn, count your many blessings. But let's go on. As again, we're seeing how our personal suffering can help us. And certainly, we need to appreciate this as we're answering the question, how do we react to suffering? So number 5, suffering can help us to avoid self-pity if reacted to properly. Again, we can better appreciate the suffering of others. Look at Paul, the inspired apostle, writing to the Church of Christ at Philippi chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Philippians chapter 4, 11 through 13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's right. I can do all things through Christ. Of course, I have to be in Christ, which strengtheneth me. So feeling sorry for ourselves will not help us to be better Christians, will it? Of course not. And again, suffering can help us to avoid self-pity. Number 6, suffering can help us to better understand the fatherhood of God, that wonderful relationship we have with the Father, God the Father, and we as members of the Lord's church are His children. 1 John 3:1-3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as He is pure. So that's a benefit, isn't it, as we understand better the fatherhood of God. Number 7, suffering can help us to see our weaknesses and God's strength. Of course, many do not think they need God because they're just living it up, and that may be in prosperity and so forth. But how sad and mistaken they are, living in sin, not seeing the need for their Heavenly Father's fellowship and to be in the body of Christ, in the church of Christ. Notice with me now, 2 Corinthians, here's a great example. Chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, the Apostle Paul writing, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Paul prayed to God 3 times to have that thorn removed. But notice, this is God's answer to Paul, and He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Well, Paul accepted that answer. And then Paul goes on to say, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Do you see the point there that we're making? Or Paul made it through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Suffering helped him to see he's weak and he needs God. And he came to that realization. And we need to do the same thing. And we'll benefit. Number 8. Suffering can help us to realize our love for others. If we're facing the possibility of leaving our loved ones, we can better understand, of course, our love for them. That's right. People that are near death, they're having an opportunity, of course, to see how much they do love their fellow man and their certainly kin folks and of course their brethren. That should be a obvious situation. But notice John 19, and again, here's an excellent example of this from God's Word. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, that would be John, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own house. You see how Jesus cared for his mother's well-being while he's dying on the cruel cross of Calvary, bearing the sins of the world. What a great example that is. How suffering can help us to realize our love for others. Number 9. Suffering can help us to overlook faults, not doctrinal error, no, but the things we do in the home. The little flaws that we all have that aggravate our spouses or other people that we're around. We all have these, if we're honest. Well, we want to see the good in those we love, and if we're suffering, that can help us to overlook faults and help us to love better as we see better. Now look at 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Doesn't that verse hit right on the target? Yes. Now again, we're looking at how our personal suffering can help us. I mean to really benefit from our suffering. If, again, we're reacting properly to it. And this is going to help us answer how do we react to suffering. Well, if we're doing, you know, the proper thing, we're going to be benefiting from our suffering. And number 10, this really strikes home, and that would be this. Suffering can help us turn to God, of course, to obey the gospel, as it was in my case. That's right, the prodigal son, you'll recall, he came to himself and returned to his father. Well, he had thought that it was better to go off into a far country and get his inheritance and just do as he pleased. But he came to himself because of his suffering when he was eating hog food. Yes, he squandered his living and then realized he had it much better with his father. And so he returned. So he repented. Luke chapter 15, 11 through 24. But suffering, in my case, when my daughter was born with transposition of the greater vessels, she was blue. And I got to thinking about spiritual matters. Yes, sir. I really began to think seriously about my spiritual situation in that circumstance. And I was thankful that my daughter came through open heart surgery at a year old, and members of the church were donating blood. And so I asked the preacher, I want to know more about the Church of Christ. And we began a study. And I learned the truth and obeyed the gospel. So that's how I benefited personally from tremendous suffering of seeing my daughter blue at birth. And overcoming the open heart surgery, of course, was a blessing. But I lost her when she was 33 from a massive heart attack. But suffering drew me closer to God. Now that's my personal situation. Perhaps you can relate to that as well. Do we need to repent and to return to our Heavenly Father? If we're in sin, we certainly do. If we've left the true church, we certainly need to return to the fold. Should anyone keep God waiting? 2 Peter 3:9. We need to be ready for persecutions and other types of suffering. It's coming. But again, it can be very beneficial, as we've seen, purifying our faith, creating in us patience, strengthening the faith of those who endure. We want to be of that number. How do we react to suffering? Are we being hurt or are we being helped? Let's ask ourselves, what is my attitude towards my Savior who suffered and died for my sins? Eternal life in heaven will be without suffering, but those who die lost will suffer for eternity. John 5:28 and 29. Let us all think very seriously about our eternal destiny. We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel, realizing the need to respond to the call, the invitation of Christ, who says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Are we ready to submit to the invitation of Christ and first hear the truth? That's how our faith comes, Romans 10:17. Believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, John 8:24. Now we're ready to repent. As we just talked about, we need to go a different way in our life, accept the will of God, not our own will, Luke 13:3 and 5. And then we're ready to be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, where we contact His precious blood. Study John 19:33 and 34. And of course, Romans 6:3 through 6. You'll see Jesus shed His blood in His death, and we are buried in baptism into His death. That's when He shed His blood. That's when we're going to contact His blood that washes away our sins, Acts 22:16. And then as we come up out of the watery grave to walk in newness of life, the Lord adds us to His body, the true church, the church of Christ, Acts 2:47, where we need to remain faithful, even if it means our death. We're ready, and we'll have the victory. And so if we've wandered away and become unfaithful, we need to return and repent and pray for forgiveness, confessing our sins. And God is faithful, who will restore us again. And we thank you so much for listening today.